Okay, hope everybody's well. Everybody out there, people out there, everybody out here. So we are learning the halachas of tefillin, and we're on page 72. So again, that's Siman Chav Zion. Base. So we started this yesterday, but again, just to get a little running start, some people had some questions about this. So again, we have to take out the trusty tefillin here. So the Mechaber says the proper minug is that the yud, right? Here's the yud. Get used to them and being able to see this. The yud over here, right? We talked about this yesterday. Should be litzad halev. Should be towards the heart of the person. That tefillah sha'alav litzad chutz. And then the tefillin should be facing out. Right? V'yeshal yizar shalot tozuz hayud shel kesher mehat tefillah. And a person should be careful. Should be careful that the yud, right, that not, should not, pardon. We have to be careful about the language. It says, shlo tozuz, yud shel kesher mehat tefillah. Shouldn't move, the yud should not move from the, from the tefillin, from the box. So, Mishbura also brings down a couple things. First of all, the Chofetz Chaim says that it should be that way even when they're in the bag. Even when you're not wearing the tefillin, the yud should be close to, should not move away from, that's the language, from the tefillah, from the tefillin. And also, the Mishnah Berurah says, and from this reason, yesh noagim likshor hayud im chutzal girim atvila, that some people make a tie. Now today, remember in the old days we used a rubber band. We were really high tech. Then I know they used to use sinew for a while. You know, for a sinew for like they use in tefillin. Now they use plastic. I don't know what's on. I don't know which one is on here.
What is this for?
This makes it so that the yud is touching the box, right? The yud is touching the box. You might have noticed that for this the cappy thing that we have, we're all fancy. Not long ago, when I was a kid, they didn't have the cappy things. The cappy things came when they started making tefillin out of gasos. But again, you notice maybe, or maybe you didn't, there's a cutout, right? Again, that's so that this one happens to be, I don't know, it stays close, but there's no sinew. That's very interesting. Now, again, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that some people wrap. Now, again, the Mishnah Berurah also talks about you shouldn't wrap it around here, because that's going to be the next halacha we're going to talk about, because then it'd be an interruption. You go around this way, between the tefillin and your skin. That's a chatzitza. So we're going to learn about that in Mirat Hashem soon. But again, now what people don't notice is if you have gasos, people don't notice this. But if you look on the top, there is wherever the lefty or righty. This is for righties. So you might notice. You should notice. There's a cut in. And that is so that the yud stays close to the box. People don't notice this. Now, believe it or not, this is why lefty tefillin are more expensive. Because they make the cut-in, usually on the right side, because they assume the person who's putting on the tefillin is a righty. If you put on the righty, so then, like we learned before, tefillin is going on your left hand, and therefore the like we learned before, the yud is facing in. So they make this cut in so that it's further in, so that the yud stays close to the box. Now, if you're a lefty like I am, so then the cut-in has to be on the other side, which on my tefillin it is. But you have to realize that makes them more expensive because they don't make too many like that. With the cut-in, so that the yud does indeed stay close, so the cut-in facilitates that because it moves the knot closer. Again, when I was a kid, the old tefillin they had didn't have such a thing. Didn't have a cut-in. Didn't have such a thing. But that's one of the things they, so to speak, innovated. Now, you could tell these are gossips. Now, again, you could just see the leather is thick. You could see that. I think the other pair we have is not, you could see it's much thinner. But again, you could see, now this holds, now there's issues with gossips forming them and keeping them closed. But again, this is something people don't notice, is this cut-in. Now again, some this one doesn't have it. The Chofetz Chaim, I think I had it for a while when I was frommer, made a special knot. In other words, a knot so that when you pull on the, it pulls the knot closer to the bias. Very, again, only Chofetz Chaim would come up with something like that. But, and some people use that. It's called a Chofetz Chaim knot. on the Sholiyat, so that when you pull it, it pulls the yud closer to the box of the tefillin.
Is that cut-in done by hand or by machine?
What?
Is that cut-in?
They do this. Well, they do this by hand, but you know they use presses. So I don't know if you consider that by hand or machine. Again, as I mentioned before, the big thing with these tefillin. Again, these. They didn't make these tefillin. I think I mentioned many times already, but it was 1974. It was when I was bar mitzvah. I remember a friend of mine in class, he got the first. I remember a big rabbi in Israel sent me a pair of tefillin. They were not gossips. Then a friend of mine became bar mitzvah. He got gossips, and everybody was oohing and aahing. But I still remember because nobody had those. Nobody's had those. And he was the first one that like have them. And so again, it's a recent, again, it's a technological advance because of, you have to have very strong presses to form the hide. It's very hard.
So the main advantage of the gossips is that they are thicker and last longer?
They last longer, that's right. So like with old type of tefillin, 15, 20 years, maybe last 10 years. These will last a lifetime. We could. Or more than a lifetime. I know my brother-in-law has my father's tefillin. Because, you know. I remember when I was a kid, he did not, and nobody else did. But when we went to Eretz Yisrael, and they got me gassas, so I still remember the sofer turned to my father and said, you know, how about you? And, you know, so he traded. Yeah. He got gassas too. You got gossips too. I remember my father-in-law was home, so he had tefillin from a famous sofer in Hungary. I forgot his name. Family would remember. So when gossips came around, he changed the batim, but he kept he checked the parshas was perfect, but it was written by some famous sofer in Hungary. So he kept the parshas, but changed the batim. Paint changed the boxes. Yeah, that's in family lore there somewhere. He told me, I think. He told me that. Yeah, so anyway, so now I heard from the shamus of an Adam Gadol, I don't want to mention who, but again, I heard from the gabbai of a very big Adam Gadol, and this person I trust, and he told me that this Adam Gadol, he said, he learned that it says lo tozu, shlo tozu is how you shall kesher me'at tefillah. It shouldn't move away. It shouldn't go far away. In other words, like sometimes you see, some of you don't have that something to hold the yud in a place. Sometimes I've seen it. People, the yud ends up like behind their arm. You know, like in the back of the arm. like it could really fly out. So he held that just means it has to be close.
Is it possible if it's not close?
I don't think so, because he says a minug, right? So I don't know if it would... But again, I asked the Gabbai, I said, but the Mishnah Berurah brings down Yesh Noagim Likshor, right? It seems like L'Chofetz Chaim is going that way, right? He says, the Mishnah Berurah is talking about wrapping the Yud so it stays close. So he's talking about the case I was talking about, in other words, that they used to wrap, some people had the thing that they wrapped it, but underneath, right? They wrapped the whatever they use, the strap or the string, so that it would stay close. They wrapped it underneath the, and again, that will be a problem like we're going to talk about with chatzitza, right? So he says you should get rid of that minog. So I said to him, so it seems from this Mishnah Berurah that the only problem is that the wrapping is underneath, but if it would be around like ours is, the Chofetz Chaim would be for it. So he said that's not muchruch, right? It's not for sure. The Chofetz Chaim is just complaining about something, is admonishing something. That doesn't mean you have the right to say that if you did the correct way, it would be okay, right? So again, that's that. Oops, I'm sorry, didn't let him in. So let's do a little bit more. We're running out of time here today, but... Now, Gimel, again, on page 72, Aminag HaNachon, again, the proper minog is, L'sakin ha-marvarta sheba ha-retzua overes, tehe munechas l'tzad ha-kotzei v'akatsia l'tzad ha-yad. Now, in order to understand this, we'll start using this terminology. So, this, you see the tefillin have a back and a front. I don't know how to, right? You have the box on the top, and then there's a platform. Okay, let me put it that way. And the platform has two parts. It has a small ledge, a small part in front, and a bigger part in the back. There's names, obviously, for this. The back part, this part, where the strap, where the ritzua goes through, is called the ma'avarta. Ma'avarta, because it's over. The strap goes through over, ma'avarta, because the strap, the ritzua, goes through, is over, goes through here, this part. Whereas this little front part is called the titura. Ma'avarta, titura, okay? Ma'avarta, titura. So now what the Mechaber is saying is it's proper, and with this you'll understand something we talked about before, it's proper that the mavarta, right, the longer part where the strap, the ritzua goes through, should be towards the shoulder. Now again, it can't be towards the shoulder, but in other words, facing the shoulder, right? It goes on the crest, and this mavarta should be facing the shoulder, and... Ksia, but we call it a titura. Letzariyad goes towards the hand. So in other words, you wear it like you think, the way down, and you don't wear it upside down. Right? With the mavar. Now, again, if you recall the Ber Halacha about what happens if you have a lefty who's using right-handed tefillin. Now you understand the shaila. In other words, we're stuck between two things. In other words, one halakha was that yud should be facing towards the heart, but now we're saying that the mavarta should be facing up towards the shoulder. So now the question would be, what takes precedence? Right? In other words, if a lefty is using a righty's tefillin, so then is it better for me just to have the mavarta facing up, which is what we're learning now, or is it better that the previous halacha takes precedence, and that is that the yud should face in, and then I should wear it upside down? So if you recall, that was the Ber Halacha we talked about before, a couple days ago, and it's a big machlokas. The Shrus Yaakov, who we brought down first, says wear them upside down, unlike the halacha we're learning right now, with the mavarta down, and the titur facing up. Whereas others, the Chavetz Chaim brought down in the Bir Halacha, said no, because today's halacha takes precedence. So again, that's the shaila. What do you do? So again, in the Bir Halacha comes out, wear it upside down, right? Or whatever terminology we're using. Okay, tomorrow, Emir Tzashem, we'll get in. Oh no, tomorrow I'm not here. I have a chasson to go to. So Emir Tzashem, Thursday before the, before the barbecue, we'll get into chatzitza, and maybe we'll get into toupees. I'll get into my follow-on story, but you're going to have to hang on that. Okay, yashar koach, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Yashar koach. Yashar koach, everyone.